Well, I would like to welcome you back to our study in the book of Jeremiah, where we have been looking at the final words that have been given by God to the city of Babylon. And today we will be picking it back up in chapter 51 of Jeremiah, and we're going to be studying verses 33 through 64 in our time together. And from our last lesson, we had left Babylon off in a state where she had been left broken, terrified, and ultimately defeated. What we have been looking at here has been nothing short of sobering for Babylon. Babylon had been at odds with God, has been consistently at odds with his chosen people, and was responsible for the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Yet God kept track. God kept track of these offenses, and he is about to completely fulfill his plan for vengeance in the middle of it all as God's children. Even though these judgments are very sobering, we need to remember that God wants his children to rest in the fact that he will accomplish his will in his perfect timing. Well, when we are tempted to view hostile nations as being unjust, we need to remember that there is a sovereign God in heaven who will ultimately settle the score. When we are tempted to think that certain politicians can get away with anything, we need to remember that there is a God in heaven who will have the final word. And what God wants broadcasted to the world from these two chapters in the book of Jeremiah is the fact that he is a God of love. God is a God of peace. But as we had seen and had looked at in our last lesson, God is also a God of vengeance. In our last lesson, we learned that from these prophecies pertaining to the judgments of God that are aimed at the city of Babylon, God says, "Flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, for this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He is going to render recompense to her." It is true that God has a plan for the nation of Israel on earth, and that he has a plan for the church as we await heaven, but God also has a plan for vengeance that is aimed at the Gentile city of Babylon. And from this chapter, God has given Babylon six sobering realities that she will need to understand that will be connected to her future as she goes through the tribulation. Well, from our last lesson in part one of chapter 51, we learn that the first reality that was true concerning judgment towards Babylon was the fact that God will execute divine vengeance on Babylon, which we discovered from verses 2 through 14. Then the second reality concerning God's judgment towards Babylon was that God will declare his omnipotence over the impotent Babylonian gods. And this very clearly was seen in verses 15 through 26, followed by the third reality given in our last lesson, which was that God will summon nations to fight against Babylon, which we studied from verses 27 through 32. And so is it any wonder that Babylon has been left broken, terrified, and ultimately defeated? I mean, God basically says to Babylon, "I'm going to get revenge on you. I'm going to cripple your gods. I'm going to raise up multiple nations that will attack you at once." That's what we saw in the first half of this chapter. I mean, these are some strong realities that are connected to God's judgments towards Babylon, and they don't stop here. And so from our passage today, we're going to continue to discover three more realities that are connected to God's judgments, which are aimed at Babylon, in order to complete God's plan for revenge on this Gentile city. Again, I mentioned this last week. This is the city of Babylon, I believe, will be in modern-day Iraq. Which brings us to the fourth reality today. God will demolish Babylon's defenses. God will demolish Babylon's defenses, verses 33 through 44. So let's pick it up there. Verse 33 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. At the time it is stamped firm, yet in a little while the time of harvest will come to her." Now, a threshing floor was designed, was a designated area for the threshing or treading out grain. Though at the time that these prophecies were given, Babylon is very wealthy, very powerful, and the promise is that the harvest will come. And the harvest, as we see it, is in reference to the divine judgments of God, which will bring about Babylon's future ultimate destruction. Now, the Moody Bible Commentary
describes it well. At threshing time, the ground would be stamped firm to make it ready to use for threshing and winnowing grain. Likewise, Babylon has been prepared for judgment and would be stamped down like the threshing floor, awaiting the work of harvest, a familiar image of destruction. And remember, God is speaking here, and he's speaking for Zion. So we get into these next few verses, a unique perspective. It's almost as if Jerusalem is speaking, okay? So let's look at verse 34, and we'll read through verse 35. Verse 34 says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me and crushed me. He has set me down like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has washed me away. May the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitant of Zion will say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, Jerusalem will say. Then the Lord responds to Jerusalem. So it's as if God is having this conversation here between himself and his city by reaffirming that he is going to get his revenge, verse 36. And we'll read through till verse 39. Verse 36 says, Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I am going to plead your case and exact what? Full vengeance for you. And I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. They will roar together like young lions. They will growl like lions' cubs. When they become heated up, I will serve them their banquet and make them drunk, that they may become jubilant and may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the Lord. Now, when we read these types of prophecies from verse 33, we have this time of harvest that's mentioned here that will come for Babylon, which clearly illustrates divine judgment, along with what we read here, that those who are living in this area of the world will sleep a perpetual sleep. They're not going to ever wake up. I mean, these judgments, they're sobering. And it's a wonder that any would still desire to live in this area of the world. And as we're continuing to read, you're going to hear me use the word Shishak, I believe is how you pronounce that. And this is just another name for Babylon. In fact, these two words, they're synonymous with each other. So we're going to pick it up, verse 40. We'll read through verse 44. It says, I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams together with male goats. How Shishak has been captured and the praise of the whole earth has been seized. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She has been engulfed with its tumultuous waves. Her cities have become an object of horror, a parched land and a desert, a land in which no man lives and through which no son of man passes. I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth, and the nations will no longer stream to him. Even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. So there are a couple of things I want to mention here that I want to highlight. First, notice with me the natural devastation that God is going to cause to happen to Babylon. We have here the reality that God is going to dry up the sea in this area of the world, or he's going to dry up this area of the world, which is, as we looked at in our last lesson, happening right now. Secondly, notice the phrase there at the end of verse 44, the wall of Babylon. You'll note that, the wall of Babylon. You have here the wall of Babylon coming completely down, and this indicates that her stability is going to be broken. It's going to be completely broken. So the fourth reality will be Babylon's defenses will be demolished, and that brings us to the fifth reality. God will warn his people to flee Babylon, verses 45 through 48. God will warn his people to flee Babylon at this time in the future, in the tribulation. Verse 45 goes on, Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. And again, Babylon, I believe the city of Babylon will be located in modern-day Iraq when it is recreated. And it has not been dealt the full blow of what we have prophesied here in verses in chapters 50 and 51, but after the rapture of the church and into the tribulation, these things will have a complete fulfillment. Pastor David Thompson speaks into this reality, stating this: after the rapture, there will be some who will believe in Jesus Christ. There will be Jews, Arabs, and others. And when God starts judging, his people need to get out of there. They need to get out of there. Verse 46, let's continue. We'll read through verse 48 together. Verse 46, now so that your heart does not grow faint, and you are not afraid at the report that will be heard in the land, for the report will come 1 year, and after that another report in another year, and violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, days are coming when I will punish the idols of Babylon, and her whole land will be put to shame, and all her slain will fall in her midst. Then heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon, for the destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. Which finally brings us to that sixth reality: God will finalize the destruction of Babylon. God will finalize the destruction of Babylon, verses 49 through 58. Take note here, this is happening by the hand of God. Verse 49 says, indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, as also for Babylon the slain of all the earth have fallen. You who have escaped the sword, depart, do not stay. Remember the Lord from afar, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. So the history, you look at the history there of the Arab nation against the Jews and even Christians today. You look at that history, it's a history that is of could be characterized as being extremely violent. But God says here that he's keeping track of all the violence. He's of that record, and at the right time, he's going to avenge his people. Verse 51, we'll continue here through verse 53, says, we are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces, for aliens have entered the holy places of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish her idols, and the mortally wounded will groan throughout her land. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, and though she should fortify her lofty stronghold, from me destroyers will come to her, declares the Lord. So for most of Jeremiah's ministry, the Jewish nation, they refused to listen to the word of God. And when some of the exiles in Babylon thought about what had happened in the temple in Jerusalem, they were ashamed of their sin. And that's what we read there. But the Lord comforts his people. He comforts his people here by assuring them that he will have the final word. Verse 54, and we'll read it through verse 58. It says, the sound of an outcry from Babylon and of a great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord is going to destroy Babylon. He will make her loud noise vanish from her, and their waves will roar like many waters. The tumult of their voices sounds forth. For the destroyer is coming against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men will be captured. Their bows are shattered. For the Lord is a God of recompense. He will fully repay. I will make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely razed, and her high gates will be set on fire, so the peoples will toil for nothing, and the nations become exhausted only for fire. Any effort to try to save the city of Babylon will be absolutely fruitless. The Moody Bible Commentary admitted that when you read the type of destruction that Babylon will go through, you need to understand that some of these prophecies have not yet been fulfilled literally, but they will be fulfilled. That commentary said, such wholesale destruction of Babylon's leaders and warriors did not occur when Babylon fell to Medo-Persia. It still awaits God's future fulfillment in the tribulation, which is what I believe after studying this. So we've seen the reality of God's judgment on this Gentile nation. Reality is, God says, I'm going to get revenge on you. I'm going to cripple your gods. I'm going to raise up multiple nations that will attack you at once. I am going to demolish your sense of stability. I'm going to warn my people to flee from your land, and I will see to it that this destruction is finalized. That is God's message to Babylon. Yet in the middle of it all, God wants his children to rest in the fact that he will accomplish his will in his perfect timing. God wanted that to be true for the Jewish exiles who would feel guilty for their sin after the fall of Jerusalem. I believe he wants that for the church today, that is made up of both Jew and Gentile who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, to realize that these world events, they're not an accident. They are coming together with a purpose. God has a plan. He's sovereign. He's in complete control. Now, with those final remarks on Babylon's future, we wrap up this section of the prophecies that are aimed at Gentile nations. We've been in this section for a bit. Section 9, we're wrapping that up. However, at this point in our study of the book, we know that when God would communicate with his people, he would do so through his prophets, who would verbally communicate the messages that God wanted communicated. The prophets would record God's words, and God would instruct certain prophets, especially Jeremiah, to give some object lessons so that the Jewish nation could see the message. And those object lessons have been pretty vibrant in this book. We've seen a couple of those. And that's exactly what we're going to find here in verses 59 through 64. There's an object lesson. And what we have here at the end of this chapter is an object lesson that solidifies the fact that these prophecies concerning God's judgments will be fulfilled in their fullest sense. So for the rest of our time together, we're going to study out this object lesson that we find here in the last few minutes that we have together in this text. And we want to carefully note here three events that completed this object lesson. There are three events that completed this object lesson. And again, this is fascinating that you would have this large prophecy against a Gentile nation end in this way with an object lesson. There are three events that take place which completed this object lesson. And the first event that takes place in this text is that Sariah went on a mission to Babylon, verses 59 through 60. What's interesting about this particular object lesson is that Jeremiah had someone else deliver this object lesson. He wasn't going to be the one who would do it. He has someone else do it for him. Chapter 51, verse 59 says, "The message which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, the grandson of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign." Now Sariah was quartermaster. We know that Sariah is the brother of Baruch, who was Jeremiah's scribe, and that Sariah had a prominent position in Jerusalem as the quartermaster. We know that as a quartermaster, he would wait on the king in his personal chambers. So Sariah had a very important ministry to the king, but he also had a great job to fulfill in this passage. In the events that took place here, you'll note there it states the fourth year of King Zedekiah's reign. And so we are familiar at this point with King Zedekiah and the king along with Sariah, who physically traveled to Babylon from Jerusalem. This would have been a nearly 500-mile trip one way. And as they were to go, they were to bring with them this scroll, okay? You have this scroll which contains everything that has been leading up to this object lesson, everything that we've studied in chapters 50 and 51. Verse 60, "So Jeremiah wrote in a single scroll all the calamity which would come upon Babylon, that is, all these words which have been written concerning Babylon." And I just want to point out again, God wanted all these things to be written down. They're to be written down. It was outside of Jeremiah's moral jurisdiction to change anything that God had given to him. And I may be reading into the text here a little bit, but Jeremiah certainly knew Sariah. He knew Sariah's family, and he also knew that God's judgments were very sobering. It may very well be that Jeremiah was tempted to have omitted some of the more sobering verses, because the instruction to Sariah was to go into Babylon and to read these judgments out loud, verbally. And if anyone knew anything about how people tend to naturally respond to a message of judgment, it was Jeremiah. And typically, those responses weren't very good responses. They were not well received. However, we know Jeremiah is faithful. Whether he was tempted to or not, he did not give in to the pressures of sugarcoating those prophecies that are aimed at Babylon. In fact, it says here in verse 60 that Jeremiah very carefully recorded all the words which were against Babylon. He didn't record some of them or most of them, but he recorded all of them, which brings us to the second event that's found in this text. Sariah was instructed to read the prophecy, verses 61 and 62. In verse 61, we read, "Then Jeremiah said to Sariah, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud." So he was instructed to read every single word, not portions of it. In fact, I think that the temptation for Sariah would have been to skip over some of the more sobering judgments, but Jeremiah doesn't stop there. Verse 62, he continues here, "And say, you, O Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation." There are people living in this area of the world today, in Iraq, but when these prophecies have been fulfilled, it will be a wasteland. I was actually reading an article this year that gave some reasons as to why some believe that that area of the world may be just another failed state. And in that article, they go on to talk about some of the internal unrest within that country. But out of all the reasons given from that article, not one of those reasons points back to Jeremiah 50 and 51. I can tell you why Iraq is a failed state. It's a failed state because God will set himself completely against the future recreated city of Babylon that will reside in Iraq. When Sariah went to Babylon in the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign, he proclaimed verbally out loud in Babylon that they were to receive, that they would be on the receiving end of God's divine judgments. And today, I believe we are beginning to see the writing on the wall. Not much good is coming out of that area of the world today. But for those of us who study the scriptures, we know why. Jeremiah 50, verse 25 says, "The Lord has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For it is the work of the Lord, God of hosts, in the land of the Chaldeans." So people can blame the current state of Iraq's misfortunes on climate change. They can blame Iraq's misfortunes on political unrest and turmoil. But at the end of the day, the current problems that Iraq may be facing will pale in comparison to what she will go through towards the end of the tribulation with the downfall of the city of Babylon. So there was a political analyst, I found this to be fascinating, who said something kind of ironic this year about the unrest that is going on within that area of the world. They said, quote, "Post-invasion Iraq is now run by groups and leaders that believe in completely different values than a democratic society. The idea of parachuting democracy into Iraq didn't work, just like Afghanistan. Iraq is another failed state. And this is what they said, the country will fall into the wrong hands in the end." And I think that's just kind of ironic. That's kind of ironic. I get what they're saying, but in the end, the future recreated city of Babylon in Iraq will fall into the right hands. It will fall into the hands of the Lord. And that brings us right into the third event. Sariah was instructed to toss the scroll into the Euphrates River, verses 63 through 64. Verse 63, "And as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so, shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I am going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So why do this? It's a visual enactment of the fall of Babylon. God wanted these prophetic judgments read in Babylon. He wanted these judgments to be read clearly, given to the Chaldeans, and he wanted this message to be illustrated in such a way where you would have this object lesson that would clearly illustrate what God was going to do with this nation. Then we read in verse 64, thus far are the words of Jeremiah, which I believe is a fitting way to end this chapter. Some say that this phrase forms an inclusio along with the first verse in the book. If you remember, that first verse from chapter 1 begins with the words of Jeremiah. And it ends now with, thus far are the words of Jeremiah. And it is believed that Baruch would go on to write chapter 52. So we're nearing the end of our journey through this amazing book in the Bible. We've seen God's judgments toward the Gentile nations. Now we're stepping out of section 9 into section 10, where we're going to see his dealings with the nation of Jerusalem, with the fall of Jerusalem there in section 10. Yet again, we arrive at the same conclusion, and that conclusion is God wants his children to rest in the fact that he will accomplish his will in his perfect timing. This isn't true for just the Gentile nations, it's true for the nation of Israel. As we read already from verse 36, God says to his people, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance on your enemies. And it comes right back down to the Abrahamic covenant when God said to Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, right? But those who curse you, I will curse. For God's people, we have a great future before us. We have a great future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love, and we thank you for this word before us, for the opportunity to study it and to see your plan for the ages. What will happen to this city and in the tribulation is nothing short of sobering. Father, help us to live as though the rapture were to take place today. Lord, we thank you for the great hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice for us on the cross. And thank you for the life that we have in him. We give you praise. We thank you for the hope that is there. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.